Was it NSYNC that did the
Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays?
You're listening to The Tales We Tell, a podcast about spooky stories, unsolved mysteries, and local lore. I'm your host, Hannah Parch.
And I'm Katie.
Welcome back.
So good to see you again.
I know. I was going to say, like, sooner than normal. It's because you were here Sunday.
Well, it's funny when you texted today, I had another again, like, oh crap, it's Thursday, but it wasn't like a panic like last week because I'm not sick. Mm. I got the full PCR COVID test and it was negative.
Yay.
So awesome. But yeah, it was because I was, my boss lady told me that I needed to get tested before I could come back to work. Even though I'm really the only one in the office. Like, I have one other person, and she uses the office one day a week, and that's my field work. But my boss didn't want me out in the field or in the office. Mm. And honestly, I still felt really crappy. And so, like, all week, you know, being at home, you know, quarantined because... Right. After you get the test, you have to quarantine until your results come back.
Yes. I was texting your husband about that. I had questions.
and so, you know, all week being just home all day, every day, and in my PJs pretty much all day, almost so every day. I did change into, like, actual clothes, you know, for part of the day.
Right.
But I kept feeling like it was the end of the week. Like it was a Friday or a Saturday, Sunday or something.
Yeah.
And then so today felt like it should have been a Monday or a Tuesday. Like, you know, I was out sick, so it's Tuesday.
Yeah.
And then you texted 7:30 and I'm like, oh, crap, it's Thursday. But I had the whole, oh, crap, it's Thursday, like all day for many different reasons today.
That's fine. I never forget it's Thursday because it's a very busy day at work. We had a moment today where my coworker, jokingly, obviously we take COVID very seriously, but she was like, we probably all have the COVID because we all got sick off of this food that a rat brought us. And it was really good food. It was like catered from someplace we'd never had before. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it was just all like really rich and heavy or whatever, but like, all of us, like, doctor included, were like, we need more than one bathroom in here. And because, you know, everything's a symptom of COVID.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say. You know, every time, you know, one of us sneezes or has a headache or a stomach ache.
Oh, gosh.
Shelton's always... Must be COVID. It's got to
be
COVID.
Listen, if I could miss work for the fact that I, like, how often I get headaches, I would never go in. So.
Yeah.
Is my thing not saving? Okay. What are we drinking today?
We are actually drinking a white today.
I know. This is like the first white I've had all year.
So I am an avid red drinker.
Uh-huh. Same.
And I do not care for whites at all. The wine or the people. No, I'm kidding.
We are pretty terrible. It's fine.
I just love listening to so many episodes of The Dollop where it's like, you know what their mistake was? They listened to the white man. So now this is a Sauve Blanc from, by Prophecy from New Zealand. And so, like I said, I'm very picky about white wines.
Uh-huh.
Will not touch a Chardonnay.
Like, I do know that about you.
Most other whites I just do not care for, but I do like a Sauve Blanc, only from New Zealand.
Okay.
Don't give me that California shit.
They don't know it over there.
Well, this one, it's grapefruity and acidic, and I think that's what I like about it the most.
Yes. I also, when I reminded you it was Thursday, I also asked you to bring wine last minute, because... I've been drinking a lot of wine, and I don't know how much is left in my box, and I bought a bottle yesterday and drank that. And I'm pretty sure I'm getting one tomorrow in my Secret Santa gift at work, but that'll be weekend wine, so, you know. Okay, so to recap to all of our listeners who are hopefully still listening, Katie and I recorded, like, the best episode ever on Sunday. It was hilarious. We had so much good insight. And
an awesome interjection from Jarek's video gaming.
Yes, it was, like, it was hilarious. So perfect. And the computer ate it. So
it's worse than the washing machine.
So we're hoping it's somewhere on the computer and we can eventually find it. But for now, we're moving forward. But there was a shout out in that episode, and I felt really bad that our friends did not get their shout out. So we're going to go ahead and do that now. It is for a podcast called A Little Bit Grim. Grim is with one M. I made that mistake before. And they are two wonderful girls, Jenny and Taylor. I feel like they're just like us. I just am going to pretend that they are. They talk about a different topic each week, either paranormal, true crime, folklore, conspiracy theories, cults, disasters, etc. All things that we love. So there's something new each week. There's something for everybody. If you like us, again, like, you're going to love them. And you can find them on Instagram at A Little Bit Grim Pod. Again, Grim is with one M. I don't know why I forgot that that was an actual word and not just a last name. But yeah, so we're going to tag them, obviously, in our Instagram. We're going to put their Instagram handle in the show notes. Go check them out. Tell them we sent you. And please still listen to our podcast after you get addicted to theirs.
Theirs comes out on Fridays, right?
Yes.
So you can listen to us on Wednesdays. I don't know. Do whatever you want on Thursdays. I don't know your
Forget
life.
What day it
and
is.
And then on Friday.
Yes. You know what? On Thursdays, you guys can all DM Katie and remind her that it's Thursday.
Yeah.
And she needs to come record. And then Fridays, listen to A Little Bit Grim. We need to have a calendar of all of our new podcast friends so we can just every day, you know.
Yeah, we should.
Watch this one. Listen to this one. Okay. So this week, we are, as of right now, we are nearing the holidays. When this comes out, I believe it'll be Christmas Eve.
Yes.
Okay. Merry Christmas, everyone, if you partake in that celebration.
And hopefully you're not, you know, listening to us huddled in a closet hiding from your family or in-laws.
Yes. If you don't want to see your family this year, use COVID as your excuse. And that's a good excuse because technically you should be staying home. So I wanted to do a fun Christmassy one. We obviously already recorded a Christmas themed one, and again, the computer ate it. So this one, I'm not sure what I'm going to call it, but originally I thought, let me do like the traditional horror Christmas about Krampus, but I thought everyone knows about Krampus. So I'm going to dive into a couple different, I'm going to call them Christmas monsters, but they're variations on Santa Claus. They're the magical, mythical Christmas being that visits other cultures.
So is Santa Claus a Christmas monster?
Well, he features in this first story, and you might say yes.
I mean, I personally already would say yes. Santa creeps me out. He kind of always has.
Because he breaks into your...
Yeah.
He knows when you're sleeping.
I mean, he defies the laws of physics mm-hmm. in multiple ways. Mm-hmm. The whole chimney thing and the whole everyone's house in a single night.
Uh-huh.
But have you
seen The Santa Claus with Tim Allen?
Both of them.
There's three of them.
I've only seen two of them.
Okay. We watched them last week. And literally during the first one, Jared goes, "What about Mrs. Claus?" I said, "There's a whole nother movie about that. We'll get to it." Okay. So the first one, I'm going to need your help because there's some French in it.
I'll do my best.
Okay. I looked up how to pronounce it. The first one is Père Foutard.
That's probably pretty close.
Okay. Which means
Father something.
Father Whipper. And he is a figure in northern and eastern regions of France, south of Belgium, and French-speaking parts of Switzerland. And he is like a sidekick or counterpart to St. Nicholas. So think, is it Belschnickel? Or think Krampus. I guess Krampus is like the counterpart. So he's described...
The Anti-Claus.
Yes. But this one's really more of like a sidekick.
Okay.
So he's described as a disheveled man in black robes with scraggly hair and a beard.
So bad Santa. So Billy Bob Thornton.
Yes. he carries around a martinet, which, do you know what a martinet is?
I don't.
Okay.
I mean, I feel like I do somewhere in the deep, dark reaches of my brains.
Uh-huh.
But the noodles are all confused.
It's a multi-tailed whip, but it's like a miniature one. And it used to be a common form of spanking children in France.
And now it's a common form of sex toy.
Yes, probably. That's actually a good... Yeah, okay. It looked familiar. so he carries around this little mini whip and or sex toy. And he, I guess, goes around with St. Nicholas. And while St. Nicholas is giving the good children gifts and candies and oranges or whatever, Père Fouettard whips and or beats the naughty children with his martinet. Or sometimes he carries around a wicker basket on his back and he just throws the kids in there and takes them away.
I feel like I've seen images of this. Just all my years of taking French and everything, I feel like this was something.
Well, I think, again, I didn't get into the ones that I was familiar with. I'm pretty sure there's another, it's either Belschnickel or, everyone's going to hate me if they know. Okay, I'm just going to stop. There's another one who throws kids into a sack. Okay. I think Krampus does that too.
Maybe.
Okay, so here's a fun origin tale of Père Fouettard from as early as 1150 AD. All right, so the story goes, there were three children playing in the woods, as children do, and they got lost. And while they were trying to find their way back, they found a house in the middle of the woods and knocked on the door to ask for help. And inside the house lived a butcher. And the butcher was like, oh, yeah, I'll help you guys. Like, come on in. Here's some food. Here's a place to stay. And then I guess, like, in the morning he was going to be like, all right, goodbye. Good luck finding your way home. But while the children were sleeping, the butcher got up and murdered all of them.
Who could have seen that coming?
cut up their bodies into small pieces and put them in a salt barrel.
To cure them, you know, preserve them, help, you know, so you can eat on them throughout the long, cold winter.
Yes. And it is something known as petit salé, S-A-L-E-S, in French?
Salé.
Salé. Okay, great. Petit salé, which is a salted pork dish. So I kept thinking...
And as we know from the episode called Tastes Like Pork.
Yes. Apparently, that was a pretty convincing... I'm worried about... Whatever. Don't eat salted pork. Don't eat... Just don't buy pork from a... I don't know. You know what? For the environment, probably stop eating pork. Right? Aren't we supposed to go to plant-based diets?
Eat sustainably raised. It's supporting actual local farmers and not, you know, the people who are like... I'm a local farmer, but I work for a giant corporation.
Gotcha.
I'm not going to get on my work soapbox here. This is not the time or place. But just in general, try to eat local, sustainably raised. Help your small farmers.
Have a relationship with
them. It is more expensive, you know, from a local farmer than from a grocery store. But if you are eating less meat, which in general is also good for your health and for the environment, you can afford... The nicer meat when you do eat meat.
Yes.
So also, box, done.
Have a relationship with the pig that you're going to eat. Also...
A purely platonic relationship, she means.
Oh, folks. Yeah, I'm sorry. Like a Wilbur and whoever the girl in Charlotte's Web is. relationship. Also, yeah, when you eat local, you'll know it's, hopefully you'll know it's actual animals and not people. Okay, so the butcher puts the children in the salt barrels. So fast forward 7 years and St. Nicholas is going for a little walk and, wanders through the woods and Katie's looking really skeptical. And he comes upon the butcher's house and he knocks on the door to pay the butcher a visit. And the butcher slash child murderer goes, "Oh my gosh, St. Nicholas, what an honor. I'm so, like, this is so amazing. Let me offer you some of my finest, freshest meat." And St. Nicholas is like, "No, no, no. I would prefer some really old salted pork. Do you have any that's about 7 years old?" And so the butcher brings out this barrel and St. Nicholas puts his finger in the salt and miraculously all the dried out pieces of flesh reassemble and presumably rehydrate themselves and reform into the three children who had been lost in the woods.
So I'm assuming that in the 7 years that these children bits have been in the barrels, dear butcher hasn't tasted a bit of it.
I guess he didn't actually like the salted pork. Mm. Although what would make a more entertaining story is if he had been kind of eating off of it for a little bit. And so when the children reassembled, there were like random parts of them that were missing.
Just like a random bite out of, you know, the side of an arm.
Oh, someone needs to make a cartoon out of that. And so somehow from this interaction, the butcher, like,
Turns into
Pierre Fortard and just like follows St. Nicholas around. I guess he like maybe saw the error of his ways and St. Nick was like, "Well, come on with me. You can still do a little bit of evil and like punish the kids that aren't."
I have so many problems with this.
Do you?
It doesn't make sense.
Well, I have another origin story, if you'd rather hear that one.
Yeah, maybe that one will be better.
This one's from a little later. This is from the 1550s. So, this is during the Siege of Metz, which I forgot to look up. That's in France somewhere, right?
Sure.
All right.
Just because I can speak a little French does not mean I know everything about French culture, history, or geography.
I left a lot of this. I didn't research some of this part. So the Siege of Metz was part of the war between France and the Holy Roman Empire. And in, I believe it was 1552, the city of Metz was liberated. And part of the celebration that the locals did was they made an effigy of the Holy Roman Emperor Charles V. I don't know what they made it out of, but they set it on fire and dragged it through the streets.
Straw, probably.
Probably. Well, straw would burn up very quickly. That doesn't make for a entertaining...
Maybe they coated it in wax or tar or something.
Okay. I don't know. So they are dragging this thing through the streets, and some local tanners were inspired by this event, and they created a character based on the appearance of the burnt up thing that's supposed to look like Charles V, and they called it, Pierre Fortard. And since it happened... All this happened around the holidays, and it coincided with the passage of St. Nicholas through France. You know, magical St. Nicholas, not the real one this time. So Pierre Fortard became associated with the holidays and became a way... I guess, okay, this is my theory, is that some parents were like, "You know what, positive reinforcement doesn't work with our kids because they're little shits. We need negative reinforcement." Which, if you're unfamiliar, positive reinforcement is when you reward good behavior and use that as a motivator to get your kids to be good. Negative reinforcement is when, instead of rewarding positive, you assume, like, you just do good. That's the bare minimum. And we're just going to punish you when you do bad.
And then there's, I just had it. Positive punishment.
Which one's that?
I don't remember the definition. It's used in describing different forms of training animals.
Oh, can you give me an example? No. Positive punishment.
I'd have to look it up.
Katie, why'd you bring it up?
Because it was in my brain. I'm sorry.
Okay, yeah, so parent or people, whatever, negative reinforcement. So you want mm-hmm. not just a good guy that will give you gifts if you're good. You also want to be able to tell your kids, all right.
Be good or else.
Be good or else. This mm-hmm. burnt up man is going to come whip you and or...
Actually, I think that is the positive punishment.
Oh.
Yeah, positive punishment is your, you know, like... You know, you're going to be punished unless you're good.
Oh.
Whereas the negative reinforcement is actually reinforcing bad behaviors.
Oh.
As opposed to positive reinforcement is enforcing, you know, instilling good behaviors. I don't know. Neither of us are behavioral psychologists, so
this is
what
true.
Do we know?
And all I know about it is that when I worked as a nanny one summer, I had this really shitty kid, and the parents only wanted positive reinforcement. So they were like, he gets stickers if he is good, and then if he gets enough stickers, he gets a prize at the end of the week. And I was like, him eating his lunch shouldn't be worthy of a sticker. He should already do that.
Set the bar a little bit higher,
I know.
Folks.
Good grief.
Then again, I should probably start rewarding myself with a sticker for eating lunch, because I have a problem with that now, so...
I don't have a problem with that. Okay, so that's Pierre Fautard.
I didn't like that origin story any more than the other one. I disliked it less.
Okay. I think the first one is more interesting.
I think the first one, honestly... Even though it makes no sense at all, makes slightly more sense as an origin story. It would make even more sense if these three children that uh-huh. happened upon uh-huh. his house were actually bad kids.
Maybe they were.
And so maybe they were three little shits that, you know, were all out right. causing trouble in the woods. And maybe, you know, he had, you know, some farm animals there and they were... terrorizing the farm animals, and that's why he chopped them all up into bits.
So maybe we'll just revise it next time we tell it. We'll be like, these three little shitty kids were all playing together and, like, planning pranks and stealing shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Causing problems.
But then, do you want them to all be reassembled when Saint Nick gets there?
Yeah, because Saint Nick is going to give them their second chance to be good kids and be rewarded.
Oh. Okay. Sure.
I'm just trying to make it work.
Well, speaking of bad people, our next one is very short because I really, really, really wanted to find more information, and there just wasn't a lot on this.
Isn't that always the worst?
I know, because I read about it. This was all inspired by this article I read that was like crazy Christmas, you know, whatever. And this one sounded so cool, and this is all there is. So this one is called the Pricolici, and that is basically a Christmas werewolf.
It reminds me of the Ticoloche.
There you go. Pricolici. Even though I'm saying it with an Italian accent, it is Romanian. And the first record of these werewolves were in 1716 in Romania. And
I feel like pretty much all werewolves are, like, from Romania.
Yeah, that's kind of their thing. Except for Peter Stump. He was German.
Maybe his mother was Romanian?
Maybe. Maybe he was actually Romanian. He had a lot of secrets.
I mean, just because it took place in Germany doesn't necessarily mean he's from there.
That's true. So, according to Romanian lore, the Pricolici are the reanimated corpses of men who have committed the most heinous sins during their lifetime.
I'm sorry, remember in the Calacanzaros, they uh-huh. had a Romanian version of it, mm-hmm. and it was reanimated corpses of women.
Well, I suppose that this could also be women, but...
No, I'm saying, like, there's the equal and opposite.
Yeah, that's thing. True. Well, I also said men, I just meant people.
Oh, okay,
I
so assume... reanimated corpses, then.
Yeah, but, like, also, come on, let's be real, like, men are the worst. in theory, after their death, these super horrible, like, mean, awful people. So, probably, like, Peter Stump, for example. Mm-hmm. He dies and comes back to life as a wolf-like beast so that he can continue on with his evil and violent way of life.
It doesn't seem like the Earth is, the universe is really in balance there.
No, it doesn't. Because you would think this would be like a curse. I was a little confused when I was reading it. I was like, oh, is it like a, you get cursed because you're so evil? But I was like, why would the curse be that you can just keep being evil? That's like a curse. It's an opposite curse. It's a anti-curse.
I mean, there has to be something like super negative about the whole, like, I'm alive, but I'm not, and I can't die, and yeah. I can, you know, I only have to, like, live in this half-existence for eternity with only a little bit of a reprieve the nights I turn into a wolf and can kill people.
Yeah, so, I don't know. So they just basically attack people, drink their blood, eat them.
Ooh.
Yes.
They are allowed to escape their eternal half-existence. Uh-huh. If they can stop killing, but then they turn into the wolf, you know, uh-huh. are forced to turn into the wolf,
uh-huh.
and the wolf instincts, they kill people, and then so that just adds more time onto their eternal half-existence.
Did you just make that up?
I did.
Okay. That would be a good...
Do we like it?
I like it. Okay. I think it would be a good, like, CW show
mm-hmm.
About a man who, like a... Yeah. Yeah, like a serial killer's, like, I don't know, it'd be a good character arc. Like, starts out evil, gets this curse,
yeah.
takes several episodes to figure out what he needs to do, and then he can probably do,
and
like...
Then forever trying to, like, do, you know, good yeah. deeds to balance out the bad, because sometimes, you know, like, he can't help it when he yeah. transitions to a wolf, and...
I think you've got a solid, like, 25, 30 seasons.
I mean, it's kind of like any of the CW's vampire shows mm-hmm. mixed with The Good Place.
Ooh, I like that, which is not a CW show.
It is not.
It's a good quality show.
It's a good show.
What was the show? I was thinking of... I don't think it was Once Upon a Time. Was that a show?
Mm-hmm, but that's ABC.
What's the show I'm thinking of with the werewolf? Maybe it is that.
I mean,
I don't know.
There is a wolf in there, but also on the CW they had like the Vampire Diaries and the Originals, which is a spinoff of that. And then I think there's actually a couple of spinoffs of that show.
I might be thinking of Hemlock Grove, which I think was a Netflix original. Maybe. It was very good. It's about werewolves. Romanian werewolves.
Also, remember the show Grimm with two M's?
Yes.
There was a wolf in there, too.
All right. I'm just going to have to do a deep dive whenever I have time to do anything, which will be never. Okay, so if you suspect that someone is a Pregolichi, like if you are like, I saw this big old wolf and like, Peter Stump's been acting kind of weird lately. Also, I thought he was dead. What you're going to do is you're going to exhume the body. So dig up Peter's corpse because you're like, oh yeah, he was dead. What you should find, if they are in fact a Pregolichi, the body should be face down. I read one place that said the butt should be up in the air. Also, there should be blood on the lips. Now, what you're going to want to do is you're going to collect that blood, scrape it, if you will. I just realized no one heard that episode where we talked about scraping blood with a shovel.
I wasn't even there. I was thinking like, well, yeah, obviously, because it's going to probably be dried blood, you know?
So you take the blood and you feed it to the victims, if there are any that are still alive, and that will help heal them of their wounds.
But it doesn't do anything to get rid of the Pregolichi?
No. If you want to kill the Pregolichi, you do it the way you would kill any other werewolf. Silver bullet through the heart, stake through the heart, or cutting off the head. Or, if you're Peter Stump, wear a really high, stiff collar. That'll just fend off the attacks, and you'll be fine.
But try and take their belt first.
Yes, if they're wearing a belt, if the wolf is wearing a belt, do try to take that off first. That might just stop the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
also, it said when you kill the Preco Lychee, it's not over because it comes back as a vampire.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know.
That was a totally unexpected twist.
I don't know what you do from that point. Like, you kill it and then you're just like...
Well, now we have an entirely different problem on our hands. I mean, because if it turns into a wolf, it's like a wild animal and it's unpredictable, and that's scary enough. But now, like a vampire, like, it's more...
intelligent.
Yeah, it's more intelligent, and it's smarter.
Yeah.
And but now you've got an even more dangerous predator on your hands.
I wonder if you could reuse the same stake, though. Like, if you put a...
Just stake it, pull it out, wait for the transition, and stake it again.
Yeah. Because isn't that how you kill vampires? Is stake the heart?
Mm-hmm. Wooden stake. So, I mean, what I'm thinking is, you know, olden days before guns. Uh-huh. I mean, because now you could do with a gun. But I'm thinking silver-tipped arrow on a crossbow.
Ooh. And are you thinking shoot it, pin it to a tree, and then when it turns into a vampire, you're right there and it can't go anywhere?
Yep. So okay. What I'm thinking is, you know, it got the silver that kills the wolf, and you go and you just break off the back half of the arrow, you've got a wooden stake, and you just...
Couldn't you just have a gun with two silver bullets, and you just wait and... Oh, I guess silver bullets don't work on vampires. Never mind.
I mean, silver burns their skin.
But... What if you had a silver bullet and then you had your other...
Oh, no, it doesn't. It's... Never mind.
I don't know. I'm not up to date on my vampires. What if you have your silver bullet... What if you do, like, the Winchester? This is what I'm thinking. Sam and Dean, the rock salt and the sawed-off shotgun. But what if you have, like, rock salt and silver mixed into one shell and you just shoot that and then they get hit with...
Well, why would you need the salt?
I don't know, for the vampires. I don't know. They use that for everything on that show. Doesn't salt deter anything evil? I'm pretty sure they've used rock salt against vampires.
I think if they have, it's before they knew they were vampires.
No, there's
that. Because they know that that's not what kills vampires.
Whatever. All right. The reason this is a Christmas-themed one, not just...
Totally forgot about that part, too. I was just so floored by the whole twist of, once you kill the werewolf, it turns into a vampire.
So, apparently, their activity increases drastically during the Christmas season. Theoretically, because there's, like...
Longer nights?
Yes.
The darkness is longer?
And also, there's, like... more people into, you know, like, grandma's in town, and the cousins are in town, and there's more people for them to attack. Which means, stay home for Christmas, and the Preco Lychee will not get you. Okay. Next one is Perchta, which is, I wrote Celtic, but, now that I'm looking through, I think it's also Romanian, and German, and Austrian. Okay, she has 1,000,000,000 different names, so I'm going to try to pronounce some of them. So, Perchta, a.k.a. Paranta, a.k.a. Birchte, a.k.a. Berta, a.k.a. Frau Perchta, a.k.a. Frau Faste.
I bet I can just guess what the German ones are.
Yes. A.k.a. Pastorli, a.k.a. Quattenberka, A.K.A.
I have a bad feeling that you're not pronouncing many of these correctly.
Ron Fastenweiber. You know what? Go to the Wikipedia page and read them yourself, because there were probably 20 more. And I didn't want to spend the entire podcast mispronouncing names. So she originally was known as a goddess, recognized in some belief systems in upper... German and Austrian regions of the Alps, so cold areas. She is known as a, quote, guardian of the beasts, as a upholder of cultural taboos, and also as an overseer of spinning, like, wool.
And so such. Like the goddess Hecate.
Yes.
I don't know if she does all of that, but definitely she has all the creatures and the monsters.
Yes.
And I feel like something about the cultural taboos is in there, too.
This one is one of my favorites. I almost made this one the last one, but I didn't. So she can take two forms. She's either young, beautiful, and, quote, white as snow, or she's old, haggard, and wrinkly. She traditionally has one large foot, which is called either a goose foot or a swan foot. Unclear if it's an actual, like, webbed foot. I like to think it is. The foot.
I'm imagining it's just like a swollen foot that's just kind of like deformed and turned in a little bit.
Like a club foot.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. I want to know how that works with the beautiful, young, white as snow.
Wear a long dress.
With a, like a bulge at the bottom. So the large foot is supposed to symbolize her being of a higher order. It also might symbolize the foot that she uses to work the pedal for the loom. But she will also sometimes appear as a little old lady with a wrinkled face, bright eyes, long hooked nose, disheveled hair, and wearing tattered slash torn clothing.
I'm totally getting Beauty and the Beast vibes right now.
I was, too, with it. Or Snow White was the other one I was thinking of.
Well, I'm just thinking, like, she can appear both as the old haggard woman or the beautiful woman. And then, you know, of course, the first 2 minutes of Beauty and the Beast, it's the old beggar woman is rejected, and then she transforms into this beautiful woman. And yeah.
This is true. But also in Snow White, the queen was beautiful.
Yeah.
She wasn't the most beautiful.
She was the fairest of them all for a time.
For a time.
Before snow came on the scene.
Ruining everything. Well, Perchta in Bavaria and Romania, according to their legends. So she just roams around during the 12 days of Christmas. Especially the last day, they made it sound like she just either procrastinates a lot or just gets really excited on the last day.
She just needs that ramp up.
Yeah. And so she'll go to different homes. If children have worked hard all year and done all their chores, she will leave them a coin in their shoe, or perhaps she'll hide it around the house. And if the children have not worked hard all year, she will cut open their bellies, remove their entrails, and stuff them with straw and rocks.
Cool.
Yeah.
I like her.
Here are some examples of what one might do to cause Perchta to disembowel you at Christmas. A girl who has not spun all of her wool for the year, if you're getting lazy. Someone who ate something other than the traditional fish and gruel on Perchta's feast day. Or someone who spins wool on the holidays, which is a cultural taboo.
Yeah, but, I mean, if you're getting behind, you've got to catch up somehow, right?
You can't do it on the holidays. It's forbidden. So you just got to work hard all year. Mm-hmm. There's no playing catch up with her.
That was me.
Oh, okay.
You want to hear a funny story about spinning?
Yes.
A drop spindle was actually on my Christmas list this year, so I can spin my own yarn.
Fun, but you can't bring to recording because yarn makes too much noise.
It does. Well, the acrylic does.
Well, I have the cotton in my living room because I use it to make dish rags. It's the only thing I know how to knit. Squares. Okay, more on Perchta. In the 16th century, her entourage, if you will, were known as the Perchtin. And they took the form of either beautiful beings, which would go around and bring luck and wealth to people on the 12 days of Christmas, or they were ugly beings with fangs, tusks, and horse tails, and they would go around and drive out evil spirits. So they weren't bad, they were just ugly looking.
Yeah.
And, go ahead.
It was Callow and Marbo.
Yeah. Marbo. Poor Marbo.
She wasn't evil.
Wait, was Marbo the ugly one?
Yeah.
Okay.
She was just ugly. But remember, she's ugly by human standards.
Beautiful by goblin standards. In contemporary culture, Perchta is known as, quote, a rewarder of the generous and punisher of the bad, particularly lying children. End quote. So she's gone from, I guess...
Did you finish all your spinning this year? Yes.
Are you
Did
lying?
You?
Either way...
Yes. And did you do any spinning on the holidays? No. No.
President's Day counts as a holiday. Bank holidays. I hope we have a lot of international listeners who... Well, I don't, because I'm probably offending everyone. But I hope one day we get questions like, what the fuck is President's Day? It's a bank holiday, which means banks are closed, but nowhere else is.
And the post office.
And the post office. Government-run, government businesses. Mm-hmm. So they have, like, festivals... and they'll have like processions of the Perchton. People will dress up. You either get to be a good one or a bad one, or sorry, a beautiful one or an ugly one. Both are good. And they have wooden masks and stuff that they will wear.
I'd definitely be the ugly one. Seems like a whole lot less work.
It does seem like a lot less work. And then you can just go like, be gone, spirit, like just run around mm-hmm. and I don't know. There's also a legend in Austria that she wanders around the halls of Hohenzollern Castle at night. I guess she's done disemboweling people and she just hangs out there.
Hmm.
Or she hangs out there and if you go there and you've been bad, she'll disembowel you.
Okay.
I'm scared of a ghost that's going to cut me open.
Yeah. I'm not excited about the prospect.
I mean, you're not a fan of them.
No. The other thing, it was only like casually mentioned about mm-hmm. the shoes, mm-hmm. which you also didn't bring up with St. Nicholas in France.
Mm-hmm.
We all know I'm from New Orleans. Mm-hmm. I went to an academy, which is like from toddler and younger all the way through senior of high school.
Uh-huh.
And so one of my favorite things was around Christmas time, like right before Christmas break,
uh-huh.
if you'd be walking the halls down by like the very little kids, like the toddler and pre-K and kindergarten,
uh-huh.
you would see outside of the classroom all of their shoes were lined up.
Aww.
And they were full of, you know, candies and oranges
Aww,
and everything.
That's so sweet.
Because, you know, we all took French. We all learned a lot about France.
I thought you were going to say you were a vampire and you went to school in the, like, 15th century.
I mean, maybe I'm just really good at, you know, telling stories that I was totally there for, but made you only think that I've read about it somewhere.
You're like that vampire from the Vampires of New York, the Casket Girls episode. The one who was, like, just telling really accurate stories mm-hmm. about the past. And people were like, sounds like you were there for that. No.
I have a very strong imagination. Comes from being an only child.
Oh, well, I'm not going to be putting anything in shoes. Mostly because mine and Jarek's shoes are pretty gross.
And also Kelly will eat them.
Which is why I haven't put anything in her stocking yet. Because I'm afraid she's going to tear it off the wall because she's going to smell it.
Oh, yeah, no, I always wait till Christmas Eve to do... I mean, Santa doesn't do stockings until Christmas Eve.
Yes. We're doing our Christmas here on Sunday. Because we'll be with my parents on the day this comes out. Okay. Last one, which it has like two addendums at the end of it. This one was my actual favorite.
Intriguing.
And I hope you have heard of them. These are the Yule Lads of Iceland.
I'm picturing, like, small, like, almost children, but uh-huh. not uh-huh. in lederhosen, and they're just, like, like elves, almost, like, just kind of, like, happily.
I was going to do an accent, but then I realized that's not going to be Icelandic. Icelandic is a very hard...
Yeah, I'm not up on my Icelandic.
So...
The Yule Lads.
They're trolls.
So not elves.
Not elves. They're trolls, and they are the Icelandic versions of Father Christmas. And there are 13 of them.
Oh my goodness.
And
I was about to say, it sounds like a band name, and so this must be like, you know, a swing or a big band.
Yeah. It's like a family band. It's like one of those, like the Duggar family bands, where they all just play violin.
I was also thinking, like, jazz. But also, like, creepy family folky music.
Yeah.
Totally works, too. The Yule Lads.
The Yule Lads. They visit during...
I think I have their album.
Do you?
Yeah, on vinyl. The only way to listen to it.
Of course. Obviously, it sounds so much better. They visit during the 13 days leading up to Christmas.
Well, that's just unlucky. Like, why would they do that?
Because there's 13 of them. One will get left out if they only do 12.
Maybe they should have left one in the cold.
So they leave good children candy in their shoes, and bad children get rotten tomatoes. Or, sorry, rotten potatoes. Not rotten tomatoes.
Potato, tomato. Let's call the whole thing off.
They don't get movie reviews in their shoes. They get rotten potatoes. So legends of the Yule Lads. Some say that they are trolls. Some say that they're ogres, but they live in the mountains.
They sound so friendly, but to be either trolls or ogres suggests otherwise.
Well, they used to be more malevolent, shall we say. They used to terrorize children. But as time has gone on, they have taken on a friendlier, just kind of mischievous, like impish kind of image. So I think they used to be pretty bad. More like trolls or ogres that you would picture. But history has softened them.
Okay.
And funny enough, in 1746, an official decree went out banning parents from using the Yule Lads as a scare tactic for their children at Christmas time. I think it had just gotten out of hand.
Ugh, PC culture again.
I cannot imagine what the Icelandic moms had to have done for there to be an official decree being like, you guys have to stop.
Too many kids in therapy.
We're out of, like, child therapists.
If I tell you, like, everything, like, you say that, like, what I tell you is, you know, confidential just between us, but, like, you're not going to tell the Yule Lads,
but
are you?
Or,
like, will they hear if I say?
But also, are you a Yule Lad?
Yeah, a Yule Lad in disguise.
Which brings me to the Yule Lads themselves. I'm going to tell you all their names.
Oh, goody.
And I'm going to tell you...
You should say it out like Santa's reindeer.
I have to tell you what they all do first.
Ow.
Also, I should say, this is all from the Smithsonian Magazine website. So this is, like, verbatim from them, because it was just easier to, instead of trying to paraphrase all of it. Okay. So the first one is Sheepcoat Claude. He, that was a weird one. He tries to suckle ewes in farmers' sheep sheds. So he sneaks into the sheep pen and tries to nurse off of the
sheep.
The sheep. There's Gully Gawk. He steals foam from buckets of cow's milk for lattes. There's Stubby. I should just make you guess what they do. What do you think Stubby does?
I don't know. I almost could have guessed the first one.
Well, first...
I mean, by names alone, there's no way I'm guessing. I'm guessing Stubby has something to do with some other kind of farm animal.
Well, Stubby's short, and he steals food from frying pans. So don't leave your cooking unattended, or Stubby will get it.
Stubby also goes by Olive, because she licks the cast iron when she thinks we're not looking.
Well, wait till you hear these other ones. There's Spoon Licker. Do you want to guess what he does?
Does he lick unattended spoons?
He licks spoons. I imagine he goes into your clean silverware drawer and licks all of your clean spoons. Because I don't care if you're... I mean, Kelly licks spoons.
I lick spoons.
This is true.
I mean, if there's been something delicious on them, like ice cream or so, but...
Yeah.
I don't just go into our silverware drawer and randomly lick a spoon and put it back. I feel like I should start doing that now.
Please don't, because I'm never going to your house again.
No, I think I should do it as a practical joke next time Shelton's in the kitchen and, like, either we're just talking or if he's cooking, you know, I should be like, just stand in there and just open the silver drawer, be in mid-sentence, grab a spoon, just lick it, stick it in my mouth, pull it out like a lollipop, stick it back in the drawer and close it, and just keep talking the whole time.
Yeah, okay, that works. Please tell me how he, like, put your phone somewhere.
I will try to record
guess,
that.
My guess is either that he's going to miss
it. That's going to be the next TikTok trend.
Oh my gosh, gross. Here's my predictions. With Shelton, he's either going to completely miss it because he's going to be just, like, thinking of something else.
Well, you got to time it right, though.
Or he's going to notice, but he's going to pretend not to notice and just be like, I just thought you were... I don't know. Just carry on and see. I don't know. Those are my predictions. I feel like he's done that before. Like, something ridiculous has happened, and he's just been like, I was just trying to be polite.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, he is well aware that he's married a crazy person.
I would hope so. okay, so you're spoon licker. There's also pot scraper, a.k.a. pot licker. And he...
I mean, so far, if red beans have been in this pot or stirred with this spoon, then I am 100% both of these.
But also, our dogs are all of these, too.
Yeah.
Pot scraper steals unwashed pots and licks them clean, which I feel like is not a nuisance. I ask Kelly to do that all the time.
Yeah. And it saves you all the scrubbing.
Yeah, and especially if he has a scraper-like tongue where he can scrape that shit. Take all the cast. What is that?
That is basically the tongue or mouthpiece of things like slugs and snails. And it's just, it's kind of like a cat, how it's like sandpapery.
Uh-huh.
So that's why people have like snails in aquariums, because they eat the algae that grows on the sides. And the radula is their tongue.
Radula?
Mm-hmm.
Gross. I'm going to Google that later. Okay, so we have spoon licker and pot licker, but then we also have bowl licker.
That's totally me. This is all three of those. I am all three of those on red beans night. I will lick the pot. I literally lick my bowl clean if there have been red beans in there.
Okay, but he specifically steals bowls of food from under the bed and licks those.
Okay, who in the... is leaving bowls under their bed. That's disgusting.
Apparently back in the day, Icelanders used to sometimes store bowls of food under the bed. I don't know why.
When I was growing up, I had a friend who was a total hoarder. I mean...
Oh. Tell
her
me more.
Is her mom slash her dad, but like her and her brother were kind of just by default because that's how they were raised in it.
Yeah.
And I remember being at her house one day, and there's just, like, toys and stuff all over. Ugh. Like, you can't just step out of the bed.
Yeah.
Because things will fall off of the bed because you're sleeping under toys. But there was, like, plates and, like, half-eaten sandwiches and things like chicken nuggets under the bed. It was awful.
That's how you get ants.
Yeah, I didn't go over there very often.
Yeah, I would hope not. There's door slammer.
Did he... I don't know, steel ironing boards and irons that were unattended?
He slams.
Oh, wait, no. Oh, I was gonna guess again.
This says he stomps around and keeps everyone awake by slamming doors, which that would be pretty annoying. I'm gonna say this
so
one
far,
wrong.
The first two, weird fetishes.
Uh-huh.
The next three
The first one, stealing foam from a bucket of cow's milk.
Okay, well, all right, you're right. That's not fetishy.
He's just a coffee snob. He wants
must be it.
A good cappuccino. okay, this one is either Skyr Gobbler or Skyr Gobbler. Skyr is Icelandic yogurt, and he just loves to eat up all the yogurt. So you could call him Yogurt Gobbler. That's all he does. Sausage Swiper is the next one.
He would not be welcome in our house. I mean, I wouldn't mind him because I don't care about sausage.
He loves stolen sausages.
So Sausage Swiper?
Yeah.
That's Shelton's new nickname. He loves sausage.
Okay, they're getting a little weirder.
Weirder than Sausage Swiper and Door Slammer?
Yeah, the next one's Window Peeper.
So a peeping Tom.
Yeah, he likes to creep outside windows, and sometimes he steals the stuff that he peeps on. So keep your windows closed. Door Sniffer?
This is the most fucked up Snow White and the Seven Dwarves I've ever heard of.
Snow White and the 13... Sorry.
Trolls.
Perchta and the 13 Trolls. Door Sniffer has a huge nose and uses it to sniff out stolen baked goods.
Oh, maybe I'm Door Sniffer.
I don't know why he's called Door Sniffer. This one sounds like a...
Maybe he can smell things from behind closed doors.
Oh, okay. Anyone can do that. Meat Hook. Sounds like...
I'm not excited to hear about this one.
He just snatches up any meat left out, but especially smoked lamb.
Well, I don't blame him for that.
Yeah, so Sheepcoat Claude will go and suckle off the mama sheeps and... I don't know.
Yeah, he's like the redheaded stepchild.
Yeah, he's kind of weird. And the final one is Candle Beggar. Candles used to, I guess, be very valuable or sought after in Iceland, and he, Candle Beggar, steals them. So... This is what we have to... We're well into the 13 days of Christmas, by the way, at the time of this recording.
So, that's my other question. Is any reference in your work, or your work, your research, about the 12, or in some cases 13 days of Christmas, did they say it was before or after Christmas?
Well, the one said leading up to Christmas. This one specifically says the 13 days leading up to Christmas.
Okay.
So, honestly, we should be... Keep an eye out for Sausage Swiper, because that... Guard your yogurt, too, because, I mean, hello. Well, the fun thing about the Yule Lads is they have a little bit of an extended family that I also get to tell you about.
Because 13 of them wasn't extended enough?
Well, they have a mother named...
Of course they do.
Gryla.
I was going to guess, like, Gita or something.
Gryla reminds me of, what was the monster in Beowulf? The other book.
Grindelwald?
That's Harry Potter.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, Grendel. Grendel. Is not part of this. Gryla. She is the mama of the Yule Lads. She lives up in the mountains with their deadbeat stepdad. Literally, I didn't put his name into this, but it's like they live up there. All he does is like lay around and wait for her to bring him food, but he's not the dad of the Yule Lads. He's not their dad, he's just her husband, so he's their stepdad. But she lives in the mountains. She comes down at Christmas to find the bad children and boils them alive and then eats them. And she's described as...
I'm horrified and giddy.
Can you imagine living in Iceland at Christmas time? No wonder they outlawed this shit. Holy shit. You have 13 trolls to look out for doing all sorts of weird shit around your kitchen, and then their mom will come around.
Okay, well, so I can see several reasons for outlawing it. One, it's way too much to keep up with. Two, it's a little bit terrifying. Three, it's good excuses for lying about things. Like,
and we know
what happened to the pot roast that was sitting on the stove. Oh, it wasn't me. It must have been Meat Hook.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say Sausage Swiper.
Not for the pot roast.
Sorry, you're right. Meat Hook. Yeah.
I was paying attention, see?
What happened to all the yogurt?
And so all the kids can be all like, yeah.
This is true. What happened to all the foam on this bucket of milk I left out here?
And then there's the kid that's trying to suckle at the sheep. And he's like, trying to be like one of the Yule lads.
That wasn't me. It was the Yule lad doing that.
No, I saw you doing it. Well, I was trying to be one of the Yule lads.
Well, and yeah, so then so if like, you're bad...
This is so problematic so for what happened? Lots of different angles.
They probably had the Yule lads and then they were like, listen, if you guys keep acting like the f***ing Yule lads, their mom Gryla's gonna come down and boil you alive and eat you and bring you back to her deadbeat husband. She's described as having cloven hooves, which you know how I love a cloven hoof. 15 tails. Some sources say that she has 100 sacks tied to each tail, and the sacks are for the children.
This must be some strong tails.
Well, she's a troll. Trolls are big and strong.
I think ogres are big and strong. Trolls.
Didn't you watch the first Harry Potter?
Well, yeah, but.
Mountain troll. Mountain trolls!
Yeah, we're not going to get into the first Harry Potter or any of Chris Columbus's book-to-film adaptations because they are all atrocious.
Well, also in the book, mountain trolls are described as huge.
Yeah, but then there's also lots of other fairy tales of not necessarily small, but not like huge, huge things what if that all live the, under bridges.
What if all the Yule lads are actually huge mountain trolls?
How do they fit in the house to steal things?
I don't know. Okay, so...
I'm imagining, like, gremlins and shit.
I am, too. I'm actually imagining the elves that I have on a very old Christmas sweater that look like a combination between dwarves and garden gnomes.
There's something I have seen, and I'm trying to remember what movie or show this is from, but it's kind of like a mix between, like... Gremlins and hobbits. Because remember in The Hobbit, when they all first come to Bilbo's house, and they're all, like, causing a ruckus, and it's, like, this big musical number, and there's things being thrown around, and just, like, all this chaos, and I'm, you know, just picturing all these, like, 13 little guys around the house just causing a ruckus, stealing things, like some guy sitting on the floor next to the fridge, you know, scooping
eating up all the yogurt
with his hand, another guy, you know, trying to snag the meat off of things.
Maybe it's one of the many variations of elves that we see in all the new Christmas movies.
I don't know.
All right, so Gryla has either 1,500 sacks or just one sack. And she carries children draped over her shoulders. Boiled children. Not live ones.
Well, gotta, like, tenderize them.
Yeah. She also has excellent hearing so that she can hear children misbehaving.
Well, I mean, with 13 children of her own, she probably does need to have good hearing so she can hear...
And rumor has it that she physically cannot eat quiet children. So if you're quiet, if you play quietly, so mom can take a nap, Gryla won't eat you. She also has a pet. And that pet is the Yule cat, which is what I'm ending on. And the Yule cat is just a giant...
saber-toothed tiger?
Yeah, like a giant vicious cat. He prowls around on Christmas Eve, so everyone be aware of your surroundings tonight. And there's a way to deter him. He only eats people who he finds not wearing at least one new item of clothing.
Well, that's prejudice against the poor.
I know! It said that in the article! They were like... Yes, he eats disadvantaged children who didn't resist.
As if they didn't have enough problems already.
So, just make sure you're wearing your newest item of clothing.
Your new Christmas socks.
I'm wearing a new Christmas bra right now.
I'm wearing nothing new.
You are wearing something. Just nothing new.
Yeah, I said I'm wearing nothing new.
They can't tell what you mean. You paused between nothing and new. So it sounded like you said, I'm not wearing...
It's called taking a breath.
Okay, whatever. Katie is wearing clothes. This...
Multiple layers of it.
Regardless of some rumors, this is not a nude podcast. But Katie will go out and find a piece of new clothing and wait until Christmas Eve to wear it.
Will she, though?
Yes. Otherwise, like, the Yule Cat will get you.
Spending money is like... Do I really want to?
Yes.
Also, I learned a hard lesson.
What's that?
It wasn't that hard. I was able to return it. I think it was last year, maybe the year before. I don't know. I found this Patagonia sweater that I just loved.
Okay.
Absolutely loved at the local shop down here. And, you know, hinted at it so hard. And then I saw Patagonia had, like, this flash sale, like, right before Christmas, and they're like, you know, 50% off plus free shipping, your order is over 75, or, like, free next day shipping. I'm like, right. Hell yeah, I can finally get this jacket next day. And I ordered it, like, I had to get up really early for some field work, uh-huh. And, you know, so Shelton called me on his way to work, because I was out the door before he was even conscious.
Of course.
And I was like, check out this awesome deal, because he and I both love a good deal.
Right.
And he was like, damn it, Katie! And I was like, what? And he was like, I got a good deal on it. And he's like, you don't buy yourself gifts right before Christmas. So now I don't buy myself things before Christmas.
Oh.
I was luckily able, like, this was all within a matter of hours. Because, like, I ordered it at, like, 6 a.m.
Oh, gosh.
Talked to him at, like, 8:30. Got on the phone immediately after with the customer service. And I was like, so funny story for you. And the customer service rep got a big kick out of it. And thankfully, they hadn't even fully processed the order. So it was super easy to cancel. Oh. So it wasn't a hard lesson. But, like, I guess I hope that somebody gets me some sort of new clothing for Christmas.
You better hope so.
And I'll try to be like, if you got me some socks or a sweater or something, let me open it Christmas Eve.
Yes. Yes. Well, I got swindled into getting a second Stitch Fix box for this month. I got one and it was really good. And then when I checked out, they were like, you want another one for without the fee? And I was like, oh, okay. And then they sent me another email and they were like, you want to add on some pajamas to your box? And I was like, oh, okay. So I'm definitely going to have some new clothes. I have pajamas coming in my Stitch Fix box. Not a sponsor.
I need new clothes, but I have nowhere to wear said new clothes.
Yeah.
So there's no point in buying clothes.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Anyway.
Yeah, so this was Christmas Monsters, I guess. I hope you guys liked that. I hope everyone's having a good, if you celebrate Christmas, I hope you're having a good one. I hope if you're able to have a small family, safe family Christmas, I hope you're able to do that.
That's what Zoom, Skype, and Facebook Messenger, FaceTime, all that jazz is for if you are long distance.
Don't forget to check out A Little Bit Grim, for more, podcasty things. And, yeah. What are our socials?
Instagram, Facebook, The Tales We Tell Podcast. Yep. And we have our shiny new website.
We do!
Still getting up to snuff.
I posted it wrong on Instagram today. And a very kind listener, he's a listener too. But a very kind person pointed that out to me. He's like, that link doesn't work. I was like, oops.
TheTalesWeTellPodcast.com.
Yes.
We are .com official.
We are. And we finally posted our videos that we put out last week because we had to do some... We felt really bad about having to do another bonus episode. So we posted our videos of where we did nothing illegal and explored the Utah house at nighttime. Which, there's two versions. There's the regular one and there's the Blair Witch version, which is Jarek's phone records front and, like, selfie mode at the same time. And so he was recording this whole time, recording us, like me and his cousin, and then realized that he also had a selfie version. So it's just, it literally looks like the Blair Witch Project. It's just him, like, looking around, breathing real hard. So, check that out.
Well, wishing everyone a merry whatever you celebrate.
Yes. Keep an eye out for the Yule Lads. Mm-hmm. Please message me if I, like, f***ed up your culture world Christmas thing.
Otherwise, what's her face?
Gryla?
Nope.
Perchta?
Perchta will come and get you because she's all about those cultural norms and taboos.
That is true. That is true. Yeah. Anyways. Merry whatever. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. See you guys next week.